Today, we continue in Mark's Gospel. Some of you were here last week and you heard us speaking of Mark's Gospel. We talked about it as the right now Gospel because Mark is constantly talking about what's happening right now. And immediately is a phrase that happens a lot. Even in today's lesson, there's two little right nows. One of them goes like this. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. So just then is like right now. And then at the end it goes, at once his fame began to spread. So his fame didn't wait till tomorrow. It didn't wait 5 minutes. Right then, at once, his Jesus' fame began to spread. So even in today's story, the urgency of Jesus' work and message is clear. And as we go through this year, following Mark's Gospel and much of the lectionary, we're going to hear a lot of urgency. We're going to hear a lot of what's going on right now, both in the time of Jesus and right now in our lives today. Because the right now of Jesus is always our right now as well. I'll try to stop saying that phrase. It's getting on my nerves. So, the resources I looked at this week all pointed out that this is Jesus' first public act of ministry in Mark's Gospel. This is the first thing that happens, and that we can learn a lot from what Jesus does first in a given Gospel, you know, each of the four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each of the first thing they do kind of matters. Now Jesus, I mean, he's already been baptized, he's been tempted by Satan in the desert. He's already proclaimed that the kingdom of God has come near and called his first disciples, but none of that was really out in public like this story today when he goes into the synagogue and teaches and then casts out this unclean spirit or this demon. Now, some of my resources said that, okay, the first thing Jesus does is he casts out this unclean spirit. And so this is Jesus beginning this gospel by joining the cosmic battle between good and evil. I don't know about you, but I generally don't think in terms of the cosmic battle between good and evil. It's not really my frame, so I'm going to go away from that for a second and talk about the other thing that he did kind of before that. Like, where did he do it, right? He was in the synagogue. And what was he doing in the synagogue? He was teaching. Similarly, in Luke's Gospel, kind of the same thing happens. Jesus shows up to the synagogue, and there he opens the scroll from Isaiah, and he reads from it, and we see which words he says. In that one he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So that's Luke's version. Mark's it's not dissimilar. Ultimately, in Mark's version, Jesus has already gone out and proclaimed that the kingdom of God has come near, which is a lot like proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. Basically, in both places, Jesus starts out by publicly declaring that God's will is about to take hold of the world, and that what God wants for this world will come to pass. When Mark talks of the kingdom of God, he's setting that against the kingdoms of this world that would keep the status quo, that would keep things going the way they've always been. We can recognize the kingdom of God or the reign of God or God's beloved community, three names for the same thing. We can recognize as when we see God doing something different, something that we would not be able to accomplish on our own, something different than our world would normally allow. So we know that Jesus begins Mark's Gospel as well as Luke's by publicly being in the synagogue, by gathering with others for worship, and then by teaching, by engaging with the Scriptures. And I think just it's kind of an aside, but I think that we too could do well to begin our following of Jesus by gathering in worship. Well done, lots of you here today. And also by engaging in the Scriptures. Some of you have heard me speak before about how I don't always read the Bible all that much on my own, just sort of for fun. I do a lot for work, you know, but because it's my job. But I don't always read the Bible a lot for fun. And that the reason that I don't read the Bible more is because I know that when I engage in the Scriptures, when I read the Bible, I know that that's going to change me, that God changes us through the Scriptures. And I don't always want to be changed, and so I'd rather not just spend my time reading the Bible, because then what is God, you know, what's going to happen next? I'd rather try to be in control as Kay talked about in the children's sermon, of things rather than letting Jesus be in control through my reading the scriptures. So, I encourage you to read the Bible, but be warned, it will change you. You might not like how it changes you, but it will change you to engage deeply with the Word of God. So Jesus kind of starts out that way, and then he moves into, indeed, the cosmic battle between good and evil, where this unclean spirit comes and knows who Jesus is, says, "You are the Holy One of God. What do you want with us? We're here. We've been doing this for a while. We're feeling pretty good about it. What are you going to come and mess with us for?" says this demonic power, says this evil that is controlling a man, that is possessing him, that is taking over this person's voice. It is the voice of the evil spirit that speaks out of the man's mouth. And that's what Jesus is addressing here. And what does Jesus say? What does Jesus say after the possessed demon guy thing makes an angry speech at Jesus? And Jesus, his words immediately, I have this written down, I want to make sure I get it to the right spot here. Jesus says, "Be silent and come out of him." Jesus begins by recognizing that this evil has stolen a person's voice. I think it's a man. I don't know. It doesn't really say. I think so. This evil has stolen a man's voice, has co-opted that voice and made it the voice of evil. And so the first thing Jesus does is silence that evil voice so that hopefully the man's own voice can come out again, can be set free. Jesus says, "Come out of him," and the evil spirit does come out of the man. Jesus restores the man to wholeness, restores him to right relationship with God and with the other people. The other people probably didn't like this demon-possessed guy. They wanted to stay away from him. They thought he was unclean, says an unclean spirit. They thought he probably had done something to deserve this, that he had brought this demon upon himself. That's really common in scriptures, to blame the person for the thing that's happened to them. It's also really common in our culture. I don't know if you've noticed, blaming the victim for the thing that happened to them. Well, they must have brought it on themselves. Jesus doesn't go that way, ignores that altogether, and instead sets this person free, sets him free of the evil that has taken over. I do want to talk about evil today, substantially so. However you feel about demons literally possessing people, or even literally existing for that matter, I think we can agree that there is evil in the world. We see it. If you ever see the news, or if you see how people treat each other, or if you drive on the highway for very long, you will see that there is evil in the world. Because people get so angry, it's like they're taken over by a demonic power just driving down the road. Just the normal things. But also the really deep and important and complicated things where we can see evil in the world. Evil is real and it is powerful. And so if Jesus begins his public ministry by recognizing and confronting evil, then we who follow Jesus might also want to recognize and confront evil. We might see that as part of our faithful following of Jesus, to recognize evil, to confront it, to cast it out, to give voice back to innocent people, the voice that evil has taken away. A few examples talking about evil. My good friend Brendan over here, you might not recognize him because of the awesome new hair color and style, but that's Brendan. Most of you know him from last year. He was telling me that after the gathering, which is the big high school and college age event for the synod when all these people come together around Christmas and New Year's, he said that there was negative feedback at the gathering, and people said, you know, this thing's talking too much about racism. It's not talking enough about God. That's what you said, right? My wife confirmed independently that those were some of the reports. Now, I didn't get to give a report afterwards because I had to leave early to see my folks who are here again today. But this gathering, people said, it's too much about racism, too much about like the bad things in the world. Why can't we just talk about God? Wouldn't it be nice to get together and just talk about God? Well, maybe if we're talking about God, we should talk about the things that Jesus did and that Jesus talked about. And one of the things Jesus did, as we see today, is that Jesus recognized and confronted evil. And he did it right now, right away. He didn't let evil wait. He didn't say, oh, we'll let that evil's not that evil. We'll just let it go for a while. Jesus confronted that evil immediately. Racism is such an evil, to point out the super obvious that I think you all know. And so if we are to gather together, following Jesus together, it seems pretty reasonable that we might spend a little bit of time confronting an evil as pervasive and damaging as racism. Certainly that's not the only thing that happened at that event. There was a lot of praising God. There was a lot of singing and dancing, and it wasn't singing and dancing about racism. All right? There was a lot of events, and there was service, and it wasn't service about racism. There was a lot about God and about what God, how God empowers us and what God can have us do in this event. But some people would rather, it's almost like talk about God in that context was a euphemism for, I want to feel good about myself. You know? As if God is the God of good feelings. I mean, I think God is the God of good feelings, but God is the God of so much more than good feelings. And if you follow God only to feel good about yourself, probably just don't read the parts about Jesus in the Bible. Just find something else. Because feeling good about yourself is one tiny part of a much bigger story of how Jesus worked in the world. Certainly Jesus made lots of people feel good about themselves. I'm sure this guy who had the demon cast out of him felt much better about himself afterwards. Certainly Jesus made people feel good about themselves. But that's not the goal for everybody, especially if you were already feeling pretty good about yourself. Probably Jesus is not going to come to make you feel even better about yourself. That's not really how it works in the scriptures. Let's talk about some evil. Let's talk about Me Too. You've seen this hashtag Me Too. If you haven't, you have not been paying attention. All right, Me Too is the movement started by an African-American woman, Tarana Burke, saying, hey, many people, women, starting with women, but lots of other people besides women too, women have been sexually harassed and abused and demeaned and treated as less than full people. And so when one woman had the courage to say, hey, this thing happened to me, then another woman had the courage to say, me too. It happened to me too. And by now you can't throw a rock without finding somebody who's now talking in a new way about how sexism and misogyny and sexual harassment and sexual assault and sexual abuse have affected their lives and have affected our whole society. So Me Too is precisely a movement giving voice back to people who have been silenced by evil, right? And it's not like the abuser or the assaulter or whatever is necessarily the one doing the silencing. One person maybe did an assault, but then there's a whole society of people saying, shh, we don't want to hear about that. We don't want to hear about that. Maybe it was your fault. What were you wearing? Or whatever, all these dumb, stereotypical, long-term, you know. We've all grown up in a culture where women are treated as less and told to be quiet about it if something bad happens to them. Hopefully our children, most of them are downstairs, but these little guys here, hopefully they can grow up in a culture that's different than that. Where men know that they have to treat women as actual whole people and respect them. And speaking as a man, I can say that's easier said than done, because I too was raised to not get this right. I'm not gonna go too far into that, but it's a complicated thing. It's an evil in the world, and it's an evil that is now being recognized and cast out. And I believe, therefore, that in that movement we might see the work of God. We might see God doing a new thing. Of course, the local distillation of Me Too, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the evil doctor at Michigan State. There's a lot of Michigan State people in the room here. One of the most beloved universities in among the people of this congregation. And this doctor did evil things to all of these young women and girls. And his evil was compounded by these structures in the university and the USA Gymnastics and the Olympics and all these people that said, oh no, he's an expert. He's the best. You have to trust him. All of you are wrong. He's right. So many of those, I believe, and I could be wrong, but I sincerely believe that so many of those were people trying to do the right thing. Good people trying to do the right thing. They didn't know what had happened, or they didn't understand that what had happened was wrong. And so they wound up becoming the voice of evil. And that's how evil works. That's how insidious evil is in our world. That good people will inevitably take the side of evil. Sometimes because they are we, because we do this. Sometimes because we don't want to rock the boat. Because we don't want to cause trouble. Because we don't want to get in the way of the university's endowment growing. As one of the trustees who should absolutely be removed from office. I'm mad about that guy. I'm not over it. I'm going to the legislature. I'm mad about that guy. So, sorry, I got a little political. I apologize. Scale it back. So, the point is that evil happens. And we become complicit in evil. Because evil just sort of slowly works its way into our culture and into our society, and something bad happens, and one evil person can take advantage of all the good people trying to act like everything's okay, even when it's not. That's how evil works. And it certainly just doesn't happen at Michigan State. It happens all over. One more bleeding obvious example of evil. Yesterday was January 27th, International Day of Remembrance of the Holocaust. Because it was, I believe it was the freeing of Auschwitz. Was on January 27th. And so people on Facebook and elsewhere were remembering the Holocaust, remembering the 6 million Jewish people who died and the up to 17 million total people who died as part of that. When we remember the Holocaust, we need to remember that the murderers, the perpetrators of this horrific genocide, this horrific crime against humanity, these perpetrators claimed to be Christian. They claimed that God was on their side, that the Church of Germany had been co-opted by this Nazi movement. Especially Lutheran Christians need to remember that the official Lutheran position of the time in that country was, this is fine. And they looked the other way and they pretended not to know, or they tried hard not to know that people were dying. And again, that's how evil works. I mean, yeah, there's a few evil, like evil on purpose, like comic book villains doing totally evil things and laughing maniacally behind closed doors. But most of the time, evil happens by regular people just sitting by and saying, oh, this is fine. This is how it goes. I trust that everything's going to be okay. Evil is powerful. But Jesus' words are more powerful still. Be silent and come out of them. Jesus recognizes evil. Jesus calls it out. Jesus silences evil, allows people to have their voices, to reclaim their voices. And Jesus restores people in their bodies, in today's story, to wholeness, to full humanity. That's what Jesus is about. When we follow Jesus, we can try to be about that too. Now, it's not that we have to do that or we're condemned or something. And it's not that we can actually cast out demons. Like, maybe you can. Let me know. But we're not going to be able to do this like Jesus did. I'm confident. But if we stand by and say, oh, well, I guess Jesus will take care of it and I'll just sit over here and mind my own business, that's not going to fly either. That's not following Jesus faithfully. The gospel, the good news of God's love for us in Jesus Christ, which occurs in the four gospels in the Bible and all throughout the Bible, and is the good news even outside of the scriptures, the gospel, the good news, God's love for us in Jesus Christ, is not good news at all if it allows people to continue suffering under the power of evil. It's not good news if it's just good news for me, but lets other people suffer under evil. That's something else. I mean, imagine, this is, I thought of this just sort of last minute, and I've been going too long, but I appreciate your patience with me. We know that the gospel, that the good news includes forgiveness. Forgiveness of sin, right? Forgiveness is central. We are forgiven and set free and given a new chance. Right? Forgiveness is central to the good news. Imagine if we said, oh, Larry Nassar, we forgive you. Have your job back. Is that good news? No. That would be terrible news. That would be good news for one guy. And hundreds or even thousands of people would suffer for that. The good news, the gospel, is complicated. It doesn't always sound like good news to everybody. It doesn't always sound like good news to the people who have been getting away with it. Right? And so when we follow Jesus, we're going to try to find the good news and try to share that good news and try to confront evil, and we'll mess it up. We will get it wrong. The voice of evil will come out of your mouth, and it will come out of my mouth. It's probably come out of my mouth in this sermon today for a moment. I don't, hopefully not the whole time. But that one, I got really cranky for a second. I think that might have been the voice of evil coming out. That wasn't helpful. But God will forgive us and will give us another chance. We can follow Jesus into the places in the world where God really needs us to be, because the people really need us to help set them free from the power of evil. This is the year of the right now gospel. There's no time but now to do this, to follow Jesus. We've got no day but today, to quote Rent of all things, to follow Jesus. So let's do that together. Hold each other accountable. Forgive one another when we mess it up. Trust that God forgives us. And try again to see and to recognize and to even participate in the kingdom of God on earth. Amen.